Today we're going to talk about unity and diversity. Unity plus diversity equals one. Right here, that's down there. I'm just going to come on down. Unity plus diversity equals one. And we got to have unity. Because God has set up a lot of diverse things in the body of Christ. And it's something that He's given us. The spiritual gifts, one gift isn't better than the other. Well, I can have a gift of faith. I have a gift of healing. I have a gift of, you know, working miracles. You don't have this. That's child's play. You know, I'm very thankful to be married to a beautiful woman who doesn't know, She shows no partiality. But yet, even today, just before I got up here, she's over here saying, "Well, you need a different color mic on here. It doesn't go together." So you want a brown one, not a tan one. Okay. There's little jabs like that that just cuts to the bone. That's fun. That's cool. I tell you what, we laugh more so than ever before. We may have to do a podcast or something like that because we're funny. She thinks she's funny. I said, I'm funnier. Well, as you all know, my son and daughter-in-law are having a baby. It'll be a boy. It'll be a boy. That's the first one. First one, always. Off the top, it's going to be a boy. Already. So, got to get my name going. There won't be no grandpa or anything like that. It'll be something cool. That's for sure. I have to give me one of those baby things. So just take them everywhere. Unity plus diversity equals one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for today. We thank You for all You've done, Lord. We thank You for Your word. We thank You, Father God, that we will be able to grow from this. We will be able to learn from this and apply it to our everyday life. If we haven't already, help us to do that, Lord. And it's not about the competition. It's about actually having dominion in what You've given us. It's to dominate. And it's to dominate the kingdom of darkness, not each other. Lord, and we just thank You. We give You all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And last week I talked about that. It's not competitive. I said, if you look in the word competition, and I'm just making this up, P-E-T-I, petty. But, you know, petty spelled P-E-T-T-Y, you know. But I was trying to look for a Latin word or something. Yeah, it doesn't go. Doesn't fit. I can't stress that as much. But I'm just saying, it's like when we're trying to compete, it's like, okay, Richard has a nice car. Now I got to get me a better car. I got to get me a muscle car. You like muscle cars, don't you? Yeah. I like all that foreign mess. Get a good American muscle car. And I have to one-up him every single time or what have you. And it's like, it's just, okay, if you just dominate, people will be looking at you like, man, that's good. If you were to look at religious leaders were always looking at Jesus and what He was doing. Jesus was just dominating the kingdom of darkness. So we want to be a group of people that dominate. Dominate. You ain't got to sit there and be petty about stuff. Dominate. Anything that you're doing, what God has you doing in your profession, dominate. Don't worry about the next man, next woman. Just do your job. And if they need answers, you know, of course, you can just, no, it's fine. You can give it to them, but dominate your field. No matter what you're doing, if you're just sweeping floors, do it to the best of your ability. Do it the best. I mean, go over top if you had to. But you ain't got to look at the next man. God will see what you're doing, your heart. He'll promote that. You ain't got to play the petty game. I grew up with that stuff and with all the competition and everything. And again, I said, we've done it because the world does it. But you bring somebody down. You got to talk on this person here, talk on that person there, tear them down, tear this down. I'm just over that. Dominate. And then people go, hey, man, how do you do that? I don't worry about the next man. I just do what God has called me to do with everything that I have. In all things, just do unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians, if you got your Bibles, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read several versions of this, and we read it last week, but just kind of want to touch base in order to get us going again. And it has nothing to do with us in here per se. It's just for those who are out there that might be caught up in this. It says, however, brethren, is this the Amplified version? Yep. I cannot talk to you as spiritual men, but as to non-spiritual men of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates, as to mere infants in the new life in Christ, unable to talk yet. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not yet strong enough to be ready for it. Turn to your neighbor and say, they need some milk. Okay, that's just a joke in a secular world. But even yet, you are not strong enough to be ready for it. For you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under the control of ordinary impulses. For as long as there are envy and jealousy and wrangling and factions and among you, are you not unspiritual of the flesh, behaving yourselves as a human standard and like mere unchanged men? The CEV version reads this as well. My friends, you are acting like the people of this world. That's why I could not speak to you as spiritual people. You were like babies, for as your faith in Christ is concerned, so I had to treat you like babies and feed you milk. You cannot take solid food, and you still cannot, because you are not yet spiritual. You are jealous and argue with each other. This proves that you are not spiritual, and you are acting like the people of this world. I said, you know, even though there is a lot of envy and strife, I believe it's in the book of Philippians, Christ is still being preached no matter what. So he's still going to be preached. ESV version says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For where there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? And this will be the last version I read, is the Message. It says, but for now, friends, I'm completely frustrated by your unspiritual dealings with each other and with God. You're acting like infants in relation to Christ, capable of nothing more than nursing at the breast. Well, then, I'll nurse you since you don't seem capable of anything more. As long as you grab for what makes you feel good or makes you look important, are you really much more, are you really much different than a babe at the breast? Content only when everything is going your way. We like things to go our way. And sometimes when things don't go our way, we end up acting like spoiled little brats at times. I said, some people, seriously, I mean, whether we do it outwardly or inwardly, we know if things don't go our way, we just kind of, okay, this is ticking me off a little bit. We're going to have to change some things if things don't go our way. And there's only certain things that you can change. You can't change people. No matter how much you love them and everything else, you want the best for them, you can't change them. You can pray for them, respect their boundaries or what have you. If you, hey, you need any help. Jason, do you need any help with your, you know, car and all that? Yeah, sure. Okay, let's get it done. But you can't change people. You can speak life over them. The Bible says one man sows, another man waters, and God is the one who gives increase. Continue to water the seed that you sown into them. And they mess up. Well, that's what you get. That's why. But if they mess up, you correct it. You correct it. Unity within the body of Christ is a kingdom mindset. It isn't something I've made up, any other person made up. It's a kingdom mindset. This is what Jesus prayed in John 17. It's a kingdom mindset. We have unity, but we are also a diverse group of people. No two people are alike. Timothy may have the same name as me, but he is not like me. I'm a lot more funnier. No, to be honest with you, my probably funny looking. I wish I would have put it up there, but they have this cartoon app. And I'm looking at anybody seen that on social media? Everybody looks great, but me. Maybe it's the lighting or something like that, but I look like just a dark, why are my cheeks so big? Why is my head small? My cheeks are big. My eyes are big. I'm like, good night. I got to change something up. We were trying different filters. It didn't work. I said, forget it. I had to go to a baby picture and do that. Either that or I'm just going to have to change some things in my life. Cartoon app is not good to me. No two people are alike. God has created us all to be diverse within the same body of believers. No body part is greater than any other body part. No body part is better. We're diverse. You're not better than, I'm not better than you because I'm a Christian who happens to be black. My identity ain't in the color of my skin. It's in Jesus. And your identity ain't in the color of your skin. Society has accepted it, you know, well, he's a black American, African American. I'm not from Africa. I was born in Oxnard, California. Latin American, Asian American. I said, but yet whites are just American. No, I'm an American too. Who happens to be black? Come on. Don't shout me down now. There are many parts, but they all function together to make up the body. And Jesus being the head of the body proves that we can't function without him in our lives. We have one body. We got two hands, 10 fingers. We got elbows, arms, legs. We got a torso. We have 10 toes. If you haven't had to, you know, if you're Doug Pruder, where's he at? He's in there. I said, he got 9 and a half. I think he got a finger cut off, right? Yeah. Or 9 3/4. But here's the thing. We're not better than anyone else because we may have all our parts. Because I believe that God is a God who still works miracles. And if you're not, oh, I don't have an arm. He can grow it out. He restored a hand, didn't he? Well, I don't have a leg. He can grow it out. He's an unstoppable God. He's the God of impossibility. God is not short on me. Oh, my hip is bad. He can heal that too. It don't matter what part of the body that is jacked up or maimed. God can heal. He is a healer. He is a restorer. So we have many parts. And whatever part is all jacked up, he's already paid the price for it. Talking to Richard earlier about cars. You know, in just an average car, there's well over, I think I studied about 20 to 30,000 parts if you count the nuts and bolts and screws and everything else. But they all make up one car. That's just one car. Unreal. And there are many diversities within the body of Christ, many body parts that make up one body. Every person within that body is significant. You're not insignificant because you were just greeting today. No, you're an important part. Well, I'm just running camera. You're an important part. Everybody's important in the body of Christ. See, I can probably take anything apart. It's just putting it back together. It's just getting it and putting it back together in working order. I believe it was Benjamin Banneker was the one who had a friend that had one of those watches, those pocket watches. And he studied it and everything else, took it apart, put it back together in working order, and then went and built a clock out of wood. And I think it kept the time within a minute, 45 seconds or something like that, for years. See, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't sell myself short. But putting it back together in working order, and then not having any screws left over, Anybody done that project? Okay. I started out with this. Why do I got 10 screws left? I wouldn't try that out if I were you. 1 Corinthians 12 says this. Reading out a New King James Version. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? No. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head of the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our presentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, no divisions, but that the member should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffers with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in churches: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that, miracles and gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various varieties of tongue. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" Kind of read that pretty quick. He says, "Now I will show you a more superior way to live, is that beyond comparison." And if you go on in verse 14, love is the superior way. We all may have different gifts, different things, diversities, body of Christ, different denominations. You're not better than the other. I believe if we truly want to win this nation back to God, and I believe it's going down a path that is just unreal, but it's turning, we got to do it in unity. The enemy wants us bickering and fighting with one another. I believe it was Paul Harvey who talked about, "If I were the devil," right? I just continue to do what I've been doing. This has been going on for a long time. In order for the body of Christ to work together in unity, they have to function together as one, with Jesus being the head. Jesus is the head. If we are an arm, we can't put our arm in place of the head. That would look weird. Or how about a smelly feet? Or how about just one big nose? Doesn't look right. He's the head. We are the body. If we are just a finger, we are that finger. That finger can do a whole lot of things. It can pick noses. No, it's fine. But you're not insignificant. Okay? You're not insignificant. God has placed apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and it takes all these gifts working together to duplicate what Jesus demonstrated here on earth. We are a part of the same body made up of different parts. The hand is part of the body, but there are many different bones that helps the bone, that helps the hand out. Anybody know dead anatomy? How many bones are there in a hand? Huh? You don't know? Anybody know? TT would know. It's a lot, isn't it? I didn't Google it. That's just off the top of the dome. If one bone is out of place, you'll feel it. What about if you severed a finger and just left it on the table? Would it just die off, basically? It becomes unusable. And if we begin to separate ourselves away from the body of Christ, I don't want to go to church. I've heard that before. I'm just going to sit here and just do my own thing. Okay. All right. You're just like that severed finger or that severed limb. You need to be connected to the body of Christ. The church, even though you may not like it, well, it's got too many problems. There's no church that don't have any problems. It's like a hospital. We are part of the same body, but made up of different parts. We are all baptized into one body. Whether we agree to disagree, we are still one body. As believers, we have experienced the same thing with our spirit when we receive God's salvation for our lives by grace through faith. Every Christian is one in spirit with each other. Every believer, you're one in spirit. You may not be one in the flesh because we're going to have our differences. I like Westerns. My mom used to watch Gunslinger. If anybody know Gunslinger back in the day, she used to watch that stuff. Gunsmoke? Gunsmoke. Is that the... kind of had a double chin? Is that... yes. Right. Not a double chin, a dimple in the... yeah, I said, yeah, him. Yes. Bonanza. My favorite movie is Tombstone. With Wyatt Earp, Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, Doc Holliday. Well, I'm your Huckleberry. I think that was the first movie I ever sat with my older brother and we didn't fight. Watched the whole thing. We didn't argue. But we all have different diversities. You may have different things from the flesh. That is different. That's not for me to change. Outwardly, but inwardly, we're one in the spirit. We're united because of the blood of Jesus. We're united because we've put our faith in Jesus Christ. So we're one in the spirit. So we should never be looking down upon somebody else and be like, you know, no, God sees them just as he sees you in the same way, in the same light. So don't think you are insignificant. Every Christian is one in spirit. Our spirit may get along. It's the flesh that we have to work on sometimes. Because it's our flesh that brings all that strife. It is our flesh that brings envy and jealousy. It's our flesh that gets us in any type of immorality. It's sometimes our flesh just wants to do what it wants to do. It's our flesh. I can't help it. I'm a little bit overweight. Y'all see that? I just don't think it's gluttony. I think I just never changed the way I ate since I was in college. No exercise. That's what it is. I'll blame it on that. Because I haven't changed. This is the way I ate in college because I was playing all the time. And it just stopped progressively. But I'm still overweight, about 100 pounds. Wait. You don't think so? I'll shock you. How many want to take a bet? I think I played at 168 here at Fort Hays. So I'm like, nah, I'm not going to give you that. I'm not going to. You guys can do the math. I said, but anyway, it's the flesh. It's the flesh that brings all these strife, the strife. Doesn't mean we can't have disagreements. We're going to have disagreements. But can we be mature enough to leave it at that? Okay, I'm just going to agree to disagree. I'm not going to plot revenge. I'm not going to be obsessed with that. I'm going to just let God. Well, I just got to be right. Well, okay, you be right. But you be right in your own house. You be right in your own way. But you be right. And I'll be right. I can't make bets with my wife too many times. I mean, just like, do the dishes. She goes, all right, I'll take that bet. I was like, you sure? She says, I'll never make a bet that I can't win. She goes, I'm pretty sure of it. So she doesn't lose too much within that arena. Because she knows. Verse 15, if the foot should say, can you go back to verse 15? If the foot should say, in 1 Corinthians 12, 15. Maybe I can go back here. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. Can't nobody make that claim for you. If you're the foot, can't nobody, well, you ain't a Christian because you don't do it the way I do it. It's not so. You're not part of the body of Christ because you like that movie there. Well, aren't you just a little bit of holier than thou and all this other mess? Come on. You're not a Christian? You know, John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. My Christianity, my faith in God is not dependent upon your fleshly desire for me to have, for me to want, for me to be that way. It's not. And sometimes the world will try to tell you, well, you need to be doing... No, that's not your place. That's not their place to tell us what we're supposed to do. See, a fuel pump is needed in a car, in a gasoline car. Maybe not in an electric car. That'd be weird. But it is needed in a regular car. So can you imagine a fuel pump just saying, you know what, if it can talk... I'm just going to just be a car by myself. That's not going to happen because you need the water pump, you need the engine, you need everything else to go along with it and all the nuts and bolts and screws. You can't be a part of the body of Christ and be absent from that and just be distant and be separated from it and just say, I'm going to just do this on my own. You're not meant to do it alone. You're not meant to do life alone. You're not meant to do Christianity alone. Your faith and walking, and you have your partners. You have your spouses. You have your friends. You have your family. You have your church members. You're not ever meant to do this walk alone in life. Ever. I don't care if you're a maverick or not. You're not meant to. You won't hold up. You've just been severed. Scripture tells us to lean not unto our own understanding, but acknowledge him in all our ways. We all play a significant role in the body, and every part is important. You may not be up there preaching and teaching in front of people, but there are a few individuals that at work, on your lunch breaks, that you've been sharing your faith with people. You may not be a production manager or what have you, producing your own music or your own films. But you know what? You're faithful to run the camera every Sunday morning. You may not have your own top chart Christian song or what have you. I said, but there are some people who are faithful to get up there and sing and worship and praise. You're significant because you're diverse. And you're part of the body. You may not stand in front of believers in jam-packed stadiums, but you're faithful to pray with your children at night before you go to bed. Lord, I want to do something big. Pray with your kids. That's where it starts. Everyone is significant. Don't sell yourself short. Unity and diversity. Unity and diversity. Unity and diversity. One body is unity, many parts is diversity. We are one body made up of many parts. Just apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets. That's your Fab Five right there. It's your starting five right there. See, and we can help each other in that. But here's the thing. Even on the court, you may be able to help somebody with a play or on the field or what have you. I said, but you're not the coach. The coach is the coach. Jesus is our coach. He is the head. We may be able to help each other, but I'm not the head, though. I'm still part of the body. And we help each other through those tough times. We pray for those. We lift them up. We don't talk about, hey, did you hear what Richard did the other day? That's childish. That's childish. I don't know about Dean. He's just weird. He didn't hear me. That's good with one ear. I'm just, you understand what I'm saying? I said, we can grow up in this stuff. We got to grow up. Paul is saying there are many different functions. Verse 17, think of it all this way. If the whole body were just an eyeball, how could it hear sounds? And the whole body were just an ear, how can it smell different fragrances? But God has carefully designed each member. God has done this. Carefully designed each member and placed it in the body to function as he desires. A diversity is required, for if the body consisted of one single part, there wouldn't be a body at all. So now you see that there are many different parts and functionings, but one body. That would get boring if it was everybody was just the same. Robotic, no diversity whatsoever. I'm telling you, everyone looked the same, dressed the same, acted the same, loved the same music, loved the same food, blah. I'm getting bored just talking about it. Good night. Good night. You need diversity. You need it. Celebrate your diversity. My goodness. Paul is saying there's different gifts or functions in the body of Christ. If everyone's a prophet, how would people be able to grow week after week if it wasn't for those pastors and teachers? Everybody all dance the same way. Can you imagine people doing the Carlton? Who knew? I gotta have some rhythm. Ephesians 4:1. It says this, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you, this is Apostle Paul speaking, writing, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the spirit, not in the flesh, in the spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. So next time you get mad at your brother, realize that's God's son. Next time you get mad at your sister, that's God's daughter right there. They are God's child. I'm not saying you couldn't get upset with them. You couldn't disagree with them. But leave it at that. Anything more, it's just weird. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe himself. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Your Fab Five right here. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we may be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. It says, then we will no longer be immature like Christian. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. The Fab Five is responsible to equip God's people and build up the church, the body of Christ. Everyone can teach others, but it doesn't make them a teacher. Just like players on a team. You can help each other, but you're not necessarily the head coach. But it doesn't mean that your part is insignificant. Everyone wants their body working together so that they have no major complications down the road. But you may have a ding or two over the years that may cause a little pain. You know? Nevertheless, whether we speak God's word over our bodies or go to a doctor, they treat it. The ultimate goal is that you want your body back in harmony because it's going to help produce the best that God wants for you. Some people have suffered a whole lot of church hurt. A whole lot of it. And that happens. But if you don't allow God to just kind of help you through that and allow those people to get around you to kind of help have those, the Fab Five to help build you up, to help teach you, to build you up and care for you. Oh, I just don't trust those people anymore. They took all my money. They took this. I was talked about. People I was talked about. It don't matter. I ain't going nowhere. And you shouldn't go anywhere because you need the body. Can you imagine that the Bible says that the enemy walks around, your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Boy, that's a prime target for anybody being alone. He can't devour everyone that is working together in unity. That is built up by the church. He can't devour that. He devours the one that says, you know what? I'm going to do this by myself. The weak ones. The church functions like a body. In order for all of us to grow and mature, we have to do this in unity. We don't want any involuntary spasms going on. Something wrong with my elbow. We stay connected to the word. We stay connected to the church. We stay connected to the body. Just like you want your body working in proper order, so does God. Just makes sense to me. I don't know. If he's ahead, where does he want us? Part of the church. Part of the body. We want to be able to grow in the maturity and in the unity of Christ where we are not tossed around by every wind of doctrine. And that comes by staying connected to the body and not going at it alone. So how do we continue to grow and mature? Number one, we stay connected to the body. Don't go at it alone. There are many parts that make up the body, and the body needs you in order for it to function properly. No one part is more important than the other. You all play a big role. You all play a role, big or small. Okay? You matter. Number two is always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other and make allowances for each other's faults. Because of your love, make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. Amplified version of that says, with all humility, forsaking self-righteousness. Submit yourselves to Jesus, and by doing so, being patient with others won't be so bad after all. See, you put others before you. You can be patient with them. It's only when we're getting in our own self and, okay, we got to hurry. Okay, speed it up. Okay, right. I have a hard time. I wouldn't say a hard time. Sometimes I catch myself when I'm in line at Walmart or something. And it's just, or even when I was DoorDash and I'm like, okay, they ding me. It should already be done. Oh, we're just waiting on this order. I'm like, then why'd you ding me? What is going on here? And so I'm having this internal fight right here. Just, okay, I got to be cool. I got to be cool. I got to be cool. Serenity now. Put others first. Make allowances for each other's faults because we are not perfect ourselves, but more importantly, because of our love towards each other. Make every effort to keep ourselves united. The enemy wants division. He doesn't want to see the church united in the Spirit. Third thing is speak the truth in love. John 8:44 says Satan is the father of lies because when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. We don't have to go around lying on everyone, bending the truth, exaggerating stories, producing false witness, all of that mess that the evil one wants to do. We will not be influenced by those tricks and the lies that come with it, but we will speak the truth, God's truth in love. Take them back to the word and what it says about their situation. Let's not be that person that likes to trump up charges on people. Oh, they stole a piece of bubble gum, but yet they're doing 25 to life. Why? To make yourself look better. Deal with it at hand. There's a story about, maybe you've heard this story on several occasions, Gandhi. Anybody know about Gandhi? Gandhi was fascinated by the teachings of Jesus. And he wanted to know more. And there was I believe it was in Calcutta, there was a church service going on and stuff. And he walked in and then the ushers came up to him and says, you can't come here. You're going to have to worship with your own people. And we know the impact that Gandhi had made upon the world. I said, but Christian church? You know, in India, because he was reading some of the things that on the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus had spoke about. And it's like, man, this is great. This would be good for, you know, the caste system that India was in. Because basically, if you don't know what a caste system is, if your family was rich and you were born in that, that's the class you stayed at. But if you're poor, you stayed poor for the rest of your life. That's jacked up. And the word was the answer. But see, when you have someone that wasn't putting others before them, didn't understand the diversity of it, turned them away. I think Gandhi was later asked, you quote the words of Christ often. Why is it that you appear so adamantly reject becoming his follower? He says, Gandhi replied, I don't reject your Christ. I love your Christ. It is just that so many of you Christians are so much unlike Christ. Wow. Can you imagine the impact within the body? But if we're just constantly at each other, and I've done this myself, and I have to repent of that, because it was wrong. Got to honor. If we don't embrace this diversity within the body of Christ, it ends up making that type of impact. I love how Jesus used Saul, the very one who was persecuting the church, to be his main instrument to reach Gentiles. Whew. Who would have thought of that? Everybody would be like, get away from him! Or how about he used Mary Magdalene? He used the most people we would think the most prestige type people. Nah, I'm going to choose the lowly ones. They can accept me. They can embrace me. James 1:2, we're going to leave with this. It says this, my dear brothers and sisters, How can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and good seat to the rich person, you have to say to the poor one, you can stand over there or else sit on the floor. Well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, my dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom who he promised to those who love him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you in the court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. For the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as the person who has broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said you must not commit adultery also said you must not murder. So if you murder someone but do not commit adultery, you have still broken the law. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the laws that set you free. Well, they're not a Christian because they don't do this. They're not a believer because they don't do this. I don't accept that. That's immaturity. That's not maturity. If we can't learn to get those two laws, love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, we're missing it every day. It doesn't mean you have to put up with some of the nonsense that they believe, because this world is ridiculous with what they're trying to push up on the kids and education and all that stuff. And you ain't supposed to stand back for that. Stand up for the truth. This is what the Word of God says. But when you begin to hate, I believe one pastor had said, there was a man that was overseas, and you know, he was a believer, and he was fighting and shooting and going on and stuff like that, and the Lord told him, you ask for a transfer, you come on back. And the reason why is because he was beginning to hate those people that he was shooting. Hatred is strong. But what conquers hatred? Love. There's a lot of evil in the world, but you got to overcome evil with good. Come on. We got to be the body. But we got to be united in spirit. Come on. Is this tugging at your heart a little bit? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for understanding in this, Lord. There's so much more that I didn't touch on. I just believe I'll have that opportunity again, Lord, and that you will show me more things. Father, begin to work on these people. We begin to work on us. Begin to work on everyone who's on TV. That we are united in Christ. We're not divided. We are the United Nations, not the divided nations. Not the divided states. We are the United States. Help us to become one like you and the Father, Lord. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And if everyone agrees with that, say amen, amen, and amen, and amen. United. Go out and impact somebody's life. Pray about what God wants you to do this week. Lord, send someone my way. Or help me to go across their path and give them a word. Share your faith. Be bold with it. Don't be crazy with it. Because there's that too. You know, it's just over the top stuff. I mean, you don't want to go there. Because that repels people. We want to be something that is savory, something that just smells great. And we just want to be a blessing to people. We are blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. Even if you do wear lavender. I said both of you had them on, so. God bless you. You're awesome.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.